Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Now may our hearts be prepared to receive this week's message coming from Lindsay.
Thank you, Isabel. I don't know about some of you, but the last couple of months I have been feeling a little lost, a little confused, and sometimes feeling a little empty, not as connected to God or to people. Some of that has come through the social distancing and not being as active, and part of it is because I really like to have plans. And with everything that's happening in today's world, it's really hard to make plans. And so the song Running on Empty from Jackson Brown has been running in my mind. And the chorus is, for those of you who might need a reminder, it is running on empty, running blind, running into the sun, and running behind. And that's exactly kind of what I've been feeling on and off. You know, I want to run, I want to fix, I want to plan, I want to have life be more normal again, and yet, despite all of my wants, that just hasn't happened. And so, God has a great way of getting my attention. Most of you probably get a devotional either in your inbox or you have a book at home where you read devotionals. A couple of weeks ago, I got one from Sharon Janes, and it's from Proverbs 31. And my aha moment came from reading that particular devotional. And I'm going to share what I learned this morning with you from that devotional. But I'm first going to go back in time a little bit and share that this is not the first time that I felt like I was running on empty and that I was lost and confused and all of that. I grew up in a Christian home. My mother's father was a church organist. My uncle was a pastor. My parents participated and did youth work in the church. We were very involved as a child. Unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you want to look at it, my father's parents were wonderful alcoholics. They were kind, they were generous, but they were alcoholics. And they raised my father and his siblings, all turned out to be alcoholics. And many of my cousins turned to alcohol and drugs and became involved in that lifestyle too. And so I decided at 16 or 17 that I was not going to follow that path. Amen. That I wasn't going to do those things. And guess what happened? That didn't happen. You know, I went down the path that everyone else had done, even though I had decided I wasn't going to do that. And I became a practicing alcoholic and addict. And I spent 12 years of my life in wasted addiction, okay? But in 1985, I was lucky enough, after losing my career, a long-term relationship, and almost my family, to find recovery. And it's been almost 35 years, which is a true blessing. And what I want to do is talk a little bit about what I learned during that first year of recovery that I still try to practice today. For those of you who don't know, most of recovery literature and practices come from the Bible. That's where they all started. And God is a very important part of that whole process. You know, I was blessed to be brought up with God and have a relationship with God, but through my addiction, I didn't feel like I deserved to have a relationship with God. And so through a process, which I'm going to talk a little bit about, I learned that that's just not true. You know, that God is a wonderful God and He forgives us and He wants us to be the person that we can be. So I'm going to talk a little bit about gratitude. You know, one of the things that I learned very early on was you have to be grateful. And, you know, today I'm very grateful because I have been given many, many gifts. But in the beginning, I had to write gratitude list. I had to, you know, write down things that I could be grateful for. And I remember as I was working on this that I wrote down toilet paper. And never did I realize that today, during the pandemic, we'd all be grateful for toilet paper again. But I learned about gratitude and that, you know, regardless of what's happening in your life and the things that you have or you don't have, gratitude is key. The other thing the next principle I want to talk a little bit about is prayer and meditation. You know, while I was in treatment, there were woods behind the program that I was in. And the program director had a German Shepherd. She was great. She was my companion. And we would walk in the woods every day, and I would talk to the dog, and I would talk to God. And I learned all about prayer and meditation again. Some of the best therapy I had was with that dog, because it was that connection to God is what I was looking for. And then I learned how much God loves me. You know, the principle, that's one of the things that I need to remember every day, how much God loves me. And that I was eventually going to be able to forgive myself for all the things that happened during my addiction that I never planned to go down that path. And if you know of somebody in your life that is an addict or an alcoholic, you know that bad things happen to them and bad things happen to others. And so I'll never forget someone saying to me, you know, God has forgiven you. Who are you not to forgive yourself?
Amen.
You know, and that was one of those big aha moments that I need to remember. And then learning to read about God's Word again. It started with the AA literature, the big book, all of those things and daily devotionals. And that led me back to the Bible and being actively involved in reading the Bible again. And that also led me eventually back to the church. The last principle that I need to keep in my daily life is to focus on what is excellent, because that is the Great Commission. It's loving God and loving people. And it's easy when you feel like you're running on empty and you want to be in control of everything to forget that, or at least it was for me. So I have learned that I am not in control of people, places, and things. I'd like to be sometimes. You know, I would love to be able to say, you know, what's going to happen with the church, the school, the staff, you know, my personal life. You know, my son's college graduation has been delayed because of the coronavirus. I want to be able to have the ability to say, okay, we're going to plan to do this, this, and this, and this. And I can still do that. But I also need to remember that circumstances in life may mean that we have to tweak and move and do all of those things, and I don't have to get frustrated, because who's in control? God is in control. So how did I lose track of where I am? How did I start running on empty? You know, I really had to think back and go, you know, it's a combination of many little things that I stopped doing. And it was quick to, you know, move into the, excuse me, I want to be in control. How did I lose the strong faith that I have? Why would I be so concerned about what is happening? So how could I connect God and my faith back into my normal life? Well, the aha moment took me to a story that Sharon James shared in the Bible, whereas we find everything. And so I had to start talking to God again about what I was thinking and feeling, and I needed to go back to having trust. But Sharon starts with a story from 1 Kings 17, verses 1 through 15. And we're going to go through that story this morning. And it begins with a man named Elijah. And most of you will probably know this story. Elijah was a prophet who gave some bad news to a king named Ahab. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain the next few years, except at my word. After delivering the prophecy, Elijah fled to the Kereth Ravine east of the Jordan, where he drank from the brook and ate bread and meat that God provided. Eventually, the brook dried up. So God sent Elijah to Zarephath to a Gentile widow who would provide for him. When he got there, he didn't find a woman with plenty, but he found a woman in need. "Excuse me," Elijah said, "could you please bring me a cup of water?" As she turned to fetch the traveler a cup to quench his thirst, he continued, "Oh, can you bring me a piece of bread?" She says, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jar, in a jug," she said. "I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now, this is a pretty discouraged woman, but Elijah has good news for her. "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For that is what the Lord of God of Israel says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." So she went home and did as Elijah asked. She took the last bit of oil and flour and made the meal for Elijah. What do you think she was thinking? "What does it matter if I die a day sooner? I'm going to die anyways." She emptied the flour bowl and oil jar and took a little cake to Elijah and returned home. As she was cleaning up the dishes, she picked up the jar and the jug, and to her surprise, the flour was not used up and the oil did not run dry. This is the bucket principle. I believe each of us is given a bucket of encouragement. As we dip into our bucket and we give to pour it to others, it miraculously fills back up. Jesus says in Luke 6, 38, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. There are times that I don't think I have enough to give to somebody else, that I feel drained dry. However, I know when I give, the same God who miraculously filled up the widow's flour and oil jars fills me back up. I want to go back to the five habits that I learned long ago. Gratitude. I can't even begin to tell you how many gifts I've had in the last 35 years. From cancer survival to the birth of a child to a careers that I have loved. And so I am very grateful. Being able to spend time with God every day. You know, I am blessed to live on a lake with ducks and alligators and birds, and I can sit out there and just feel His presence. And I know how much God loves me.
Yes, He does.
He gave His only Son for all of us. And I know when I read Scripture that I'm going to find what I'm looking for. And I know that our Father has it all, and I can focus on loving Him and loving others. If you're feeling empty, lost, or confused today, think of a way that you can pour some encouragement into somebody else's emotional, spiritual, or physical bucket. Then watch God fill you back up. Consider maintaining an attitude of gratitude no matter what happens in your life. Thessalonians 5:16-18 says it best. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will in Jesus Christ. When I feel empty again, I'm asking that I don't feel sorry for myself, and that I can encourage somebody else, and that I can encourage others emotionally, spiritually, and physically. God, make me aware of my selfish habits and give me the words to say and the courage to say them. I pray that as I give encouragement to others, You will fill me back up. In Jesus' name.
Amen.